The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas, joined in the studio today by Ali Moreno. On the day that we now know the 16 teams that have qualified for the knockout stages of the Champions League, one of those teams is not Inter Milan. They could only manage a 0-0 draw against Shakhtar Donetsk, which means for the third year in a row, they failed to win at home in the final match day to clinch a place in the next round. Frank LaBeouf, Stevie Nicol and Gab Marcotti also with us to reflect on this. So, Gab, I want to start with you. This is pretty embarrassing for Inter, isn't it?
It is embarrassing. It's two, you know, it's one win in six group games. And, you know, I like to go on about performance. They played well in the last round against Gladbach. They played well for a while against Real Madrid when you know, they nearly had to come back. And that's pretty much it. And I will go and happily concede that if Alexis Sanchez's header hadn't somehow found Romelu Lukaku's large head on the way, it would have gone in. Okay, fine. And then they would be through and Conte would be a genius. No, it doesn't work that way. Performances matter. And once again, Inter showed that in Europe, they've been outclassed for whatever reason this season. It's happened time and time again. And, you know, this is a gut punch. And when Conte was asked about it after the game, you know, why do you wait until, what, like a couple minutes from time to send on Eriksen? Why did you wait so long to send on Alexis Sanchez? You know, he comes up with silly excuses, and he had even sillier excuses, which I'm happy to share later on.
The Eriksen thing is interesting, and I think it's worth talking about because it was the 82nd minute when he was introduced, and you could see instantly he brought something a little bit different, that ball trying to get into the box. And you're thinking, you're sat on this guy, you need a win, you know the pressure that's going to be piled on you if you don't get the victory, yet you're sitting on your hands for that long.
It's stubbornness is what it is. It's just being stubborn. And people have been telling you for weeks upon weeks upon weeks, why are you not playing Eriksen? Why are you not playing Eriksen? He can change the game for you. He can deliver good balls into the box. He can give you service. He can give you vision. Maybe if you play Eriksen in a sort of position in which he can get himself in pockets of spaces, he's the one that can deliver that pass. And time again, Conte says, not for us, not now, not ever now. No, I'm not going to do it. Not going to do it. Even if you're desperate, not going to do it. It's stubbornness is what it is. It's not conceding to the fact that everybody's telling you to play Eriksen. And when you see Christian Eriksen over the last 10 minutes and he's whipping balls in and he's on top of the 18-yard box and he's taking shots on goal, you're thinking to yourself, they could have been doing this really for the length of the game, but if you're going to have him come off the bench, they could have been doing this for the last 30 minutes, and eventually you would have broken through. It was only a matter of time until Inter, it felt like, with enough pressure, they were going to be able to create a chance here and there, and they did create it. It was a service by Eriksen, and it is Alexis Sanchez who gets a great header, is going into the goal, and if there was ever a picture of what Inter has been in Champions League this year, it's exactly that sequence of play in which Romelu Lukaku, for whatever reason, standing still, flat-footed in front of the goal, and he is the best defender for Shakhtar. He clears it. That in itself tells you what Inter has been this year in Champions League.
Stevie, what was wrong with Inter today?
Well, it's a bit of a pattern when you think about it with Conte, whenever it comes to big games. And, you know, as a young player growing up, joining Liverpool and actually sitting watching and being involved in the build-up to big games, the one thing they always said was just to be relaxed, keep calm, don't be changing things. You know, there's a thing called nervous energy, and if you're spending the week before a big game getting hyped up and the manager's talking about it all the time, that takes it out of you. Now, that has to be one of the reasons. And again, the other one is Conte. It's all about Conte. That's why he doesn't put Eriksen on, because it's all about him. He's already told people that he doesn't fancy him. He doesn't think he can do the job. And so regardless of what's best for the team, or regardless of what's probably needed at the time, he won't do it. But I would suggest this is down to Conte. He must be preparing his teams for big games wrongly, because it's gone wrong so many times. You only have to look at the final last season in the Europa League. So, and Juventus as well. I mean, how many times did he crash out with Juventus? So I think a lot of this has to do with his coaching style.
Gab, you mentioned the excuses he made after the games. Enlighten us.
Well, I want to add another point on Eriksen first. The fact that the weekend before, at the weekend, they played Bologna. They're winning 3-0. Wonderful, composed performance. They look solid. He brought Eriksen on in injury time. Eriksen played 1 minute. Now, there's no reason to do that unless you really want to humiliate the guy and make him feel like rubbish. I'm sure everybody there can tell you, oh, how does it feel when you're a starter and you're one of the highest paid players on the team and they bring you on for 1 minute at the end? Is the coach trying to tell you something? So even then, even before this game, he clearly didn't prepare Eriksen properly if he was going to use him at all. Beyond that, the reasons Inter are out, well, see, among other things, he said, well, we couldn't score. Okay, fair enough. He mentioned the fact that that referees aren't respect, or don't get enough respect from referees in Europe, which I don't know what you mean by that. If you mean you get the calls, if you mean there's a big conspiracy against you. And then, and this is what really got me, they asked him, oh, but you beat Shakhtar 5-0 in the Europa League back in August, and now this. And he said, well, what was different? And he said, well, Shakhtar changed their game plan. When they play us, they change their game plan from the way they usually play. In fact, a lot of teams go and change their game plan when they usually play. We find that difficult. And I'm like, God forbid the opposing manager goes and lays out a game plan to try to stop you. And finally, the best thing, I was watching on Italian television, they have Fabio Capello in the studio, right? Fabio Capello does have a bit of CV. He's also Conte's old boss. He says, you know, I don't think you had a plan B in this game. And Conte says, well, no, I did have a plan B. I always have a plan B. And Capello asks him, so what is that plan B? And he says, well, I'm not going to tell you. I'm certainly not going to come out and say what that plan B is on television, because otherwise that's going to give my opponents an advantage. I mean, honestly, this is schoolyard stuff. And look, I feel for him. He's under pressure, whatever. But at that point, you know, what conclusions are people supposed to draw about him?
Obviously, a lot of talk about Conte, Frank, but the players surely within themselves have got to step up for this big game as well.
Yeah, they should. And but I think it's maybe the context. In fact, makes Conte being in the always in the middle of all the discussion that we have about Inter, because he makes everything to be in the middle of that. Right. You know, when you see him on the touchline, you see somebody, you know, moving everywhere. You say, well, maybe he needs pills, you know, he need to calm down. You know, we see him only when there is a goal. All the cameras, they go on him because they want to see the show. And he's doing a show. And that may be an answer for Eriksen. Why he doesn't put him to, on the field? Because he doesn't want to prove that he's wrong. He only put him like 8 minutes before the end of during the injury time the last weekend in the Calcio, because he doesn't want Eriksen to prove him wrong. And so that goes to the stubbornness that Ali was talking about, and the fact that maybe he doesn't want to put Eriksen because maybe he realized that he's wrong, and if he puts Eriksen, he's going to be proved wrong. The player should do better. Of course, they should do better, but maybe, you know, if we see what happened last season, maybe Inter Milan should be happy to be in the Europa League, because they only deserve the Europa League, like other clubs who should be happy. Yeah. And I think about Man United, maybe that. Maybe they can do something in that competition, and maybe Champions League is too big for them. We have to be realistic for some clubs where, you know, going in Champions League maybe after the group stages won't offer them a future, where in Europa League there may be a chance, and we saw that with Inter Milan, to maybe go to a final. That's it.
And Frank, they're not even in the Europa League. They finished fourth.
Hey. Well, they're not even, sorry, yes, yes.
Not even
in the Europa League. So.
And this,
yeah, it's true, Shakhtar. So good luck to Shakhtar. Yeah, it's true.
And Gab, this is a feeling of deja vu for Inter fans going into the final match day, needing a win at home. Couldn't beat PSV, couldn't beat Barca B, and couldn't beat Shakhtar either today.
Yeah, look, this has happened before. It's happened under different managers. You've had a whole range of excuses. And I think, you know, the risk is you can't let it mess with your head. There's different reasons why they went out in these different seasons. And at some point, maybe when Conte calms down, he'll sit down and he'll analyze what happened and why and see that these cases are all different. But it's obviously a pattern. He's obviously, you know, the furthest he's gone is he reached the quarterfinals with Juventus. I think that was way back in 2012, 2013. Since then, I think he made the round of 16 once with Chelsea. And that's it. And, you know, for a guy who is one of the highest paid managers in the world, for a guy who's had a club bend over backwards for him, for a guy who holds himself to super high standards and puts a lot of pressure on himself, that's not good enough. And you know that that's just eating him up inside.
Could he get sacked over this, Cam?
It's the age-old issue with Conte. His contract is way too big. I don't believe Inter can afford to sack him. It's as simple as that. He makes far, far too much money for a team that's already really, really stretched financially. And now is going to have to deal with this whole Eriksen nonsense as well. So I think it's unlikely. I think what the club are going to try to spin it and say, oh, look, well, we're not in Europe anymore. So, you know, we're not playing that much midweek football. What a great chance to go and win the league. And then, you know, he did win the league with Juventus the first time and with Chelsea when they weren't playing European football, of course. So, you know, I think that is how you spin it. And it's how you have to spin it to try and salvage the season. And, you know, look, it might even work out. Who knows?
All eyes were on Real Madrid mm-hmm. going into this round because, obviously, after a messy group, mm-hmm. they had to beat Borussia Mönchengladbach. They did, and they did it so easily.
This game was over before it even started because Borussia Mönchengladbach, there's no other way to say it, this team were afraid of Real Madrid, afraid of the moment, afraid of getting close to Real Madrid defensively. They never challenged Real Madrid physically. They never in any way made it difficult for Real Madrid. And when you're Real Madrid and you're Lucas Vázquez and you have 5 yards of space to get your head up and find the header of Karim Benzema, it's 1-0, you get to relax after that because now you feel confident. Whatever doubts you had coming into this match, if you're Real Madrid, you say, you know what? These guys are not here to play. These guys cannot challenge us today physically. These guys cannot threaten us. And so, therefore, we'll continue to play. Confident Real Madrid is a good Real Madrid. And today we saw with time and space, they made Real Madrid look like they were world beaters, where we have seen that Real Madrid this year have not been world beaters. But today, excellent.
And once again, Frank Benzema scoring goals of fun.
Yeah, fantastic. I mean, absolutely. Always spot on, in fact. You know, the thing is, when I see Rodrigo, you know, crossing the ball, I say, what a cross. But always Benzema is in the right area and put it in a fabulous situation to beat Sommer. I'm very impressed with Karim. Karim, I think, is the fourth best player overall in Real Madrid, mm-hmm. and is proving everything that everybody that is a real top striker. When I remember Mourinho was telling him that he wasn't a killer. He makes so easy for the team. Every time he has a chance to score, he does. I mean, he could have had a hat-trick if he didn't touch the crossbar. But it was a fantastic game from Real Madrid, and I'm so ashamed for Mönchengladbach. What kind of game is that when you go, they look like pupils, you know, in front of teachers. I mean, that was such a shame for the coach and the players. I don't understand that kind of behavior. When you play and you know that you need a draw, at least a draw, but you don't play at all. You're so scared, as Ali said. I don't understand that. It wasn't a professional performance for sure.
And Stevie, no coincidence, obviously. Sergio Ramos back. Real Madrid back winning in the Champions League.
Listen, Sergio Ramos could have sat on the halfway line and had a cup of tea and a cigarette all 90 minutes because Mönchengladbach, as the boys said, were absolutely a joke. They actually I had to keep checking the table to see where they were because they looked as though they were a side that had already been knocked out. They looked like a side that were sat in fourth and had no chance of going anywhere. I mean, they were gutless. They didn't chase. They didn't harry. I mean, it was just awful. But you can't take it away from particularly Benzema. Two great headers, two great crosses, and they thoroughly deserved the win. But, I mean, Mönchengladbach, When this draw comes out, everybody wants Mönchengladbach, I can tell you that.
They are through to that draw for the first time ever in the history of the club. Meanwhile, Extra Time is all about Stevie Champagne. Be sure to go and check that out over on our YouTube channel.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't a search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Players and match officials took a knee and raised a fist before the resumption of Wednesday's game between PSG and Istanbul. Of course, this match saw the teams walk off in solidarity on Tuesday after the fourth official was accused of using a racial slur to talk about Pierre Webber, who was on the sideline wearing a No to Racism t-shirt. For this game, to the actual game, well, PSG winning by 5-1. Neymar with a hat-trick, Mbappe with a brace as well, meaning that PSG advanced top of the group. This was the Neymar show, Frank.
Yeah, it was. Well, don't forget it's against the last of the group. But Neymar shows that he's getting better and better. I think he had to go back to fitness before giving his best. So maybe he's back to his best. It's what I hope for Paris Saint-Germain and for the future in the Champions League for Paris Saint-Germain.
Meanwhile, you take a look then at how the group finished in Group D. Liverpool with a 1-1 draw against Michelin. Liverpool, of course, were already through. The big game was in Holland. Ajax taking on Atalanta. Ajax had to win that match. In the end, they lost by 1-0. Ajax just couldn't get it done, Stevie.
Well, not only could they not get it done, they were woefully short of getting even close to it. Listen, they had one chance in the game. It fell to Davy Klaassen, 8 yards out, only had the keeper to beat. And for a guy with his experience, it almost looked like he shut his eyes and hit it as hard as he could. And he hit it straight at the keeper. That was it. You know, for a side that had to go and win this game, they lacked imagination. They even lacked a little bit of heart, in my opinion. Because I thought they would go and put Atalanta under pressure, but they just didn't. And quite honestly, they didn't deserve to get anything from this game. Muriel came on with, 10, 15 minutes to go and scored a superb goal. But Ajax, deservedly out, certainly on this game, deserved nothing and absolutely got nothing.
Gab, is Stevie being harsh?
I don't know if he's being harsh. I think what's interesting here is this was a totally different Atalanta performance than what we've seen before. They were a lot more defensive, a lot more covered up, obviously. They felt that Ajax were going to come at them. And I think credit has to go to the manager and to the players, because obviously there was a huge internal confrontation between the manager Gasperini and his two star players, Papu Gomez and Josip Iličić. It's the reason Gomez and Iličić didn't play at the weekend. They basically, in fact, got so bad that Gasperini actually resigned. And then the club said, no, we don't accept your resignation. Go out and play. He may yet resign in the coming days because of what he considers to be insubordination. But for the fact that they could pull together and for the good of the club, come what may, and they may not be there when the Champions League resumes, the fact they could pull together in this way, in this game, I think says a lot about the character of these people.
Should Ajax have had a penalty, Frank?
Yes, I think so. I think Untola was pushed by the defender, and the defender maybe tried to play shoulder against shoulder, which is allowed, but he pushed him on his back. So it's definitely for me a penalty. And don't forget that Atalanta scored because I think they were 11 against 10. I think a player from Ajax was sent off just before for something. For me, didn't deserve a second yellow card because he was just trying to get to his balance and not smashing Gomez on the face. So Ajax didn't play well, maybe didn't deserve to go through, but you have to notify that there are two major decisions from the referee, for me, was wrong.
Meanwhile, in Group A, it was an interesting circumstance in that I think anyone could have gone through. In the end, Atleti through. But we've had four different games on, and I felt like every time we watched this game, Salzburg were having chances.
Yes, they were. And this was indeed vintage Atletico Madrid, in which they're absorbing pressure. You're having to come up with saves. You're having to come up with last-ditch efforts defensively, slide tackles, and all sorts of different things on your own half. And then you score a goal on the set piece and hey, we're fine, we're good, we're here. And then you're going to absorb some more pressure. This was more of the Atletico Madrid that we have expected and come to appreciate in some ways from Diego Simeone in years past, but it's not this year's Atletico Madrid. And yet, when it counts the most, when it's most important, when it's on the line, what does Simeone trust? He trusts defending first. He trusts parking that team on his defensive half. And at one point, we look at Joao Felix, who's used your most attacking player or your most talented attacking player. He is 10 yards from the top of the circle, defending in his own half. And that's a starting line of confrontation. If you're Simeone, you'll take it, and at the end you say, hey, you know, I was right all along. I knew what I was doing. This is what my team does, and I guess he was right. But it's not the way that this team right now, with the personnel that they have available, it's not the way that this team should be playing, and it's not the way that they should be getting results.
It is the absolute team, though, that everyone will want to avoid in the Champions League draw. Manchester City go through top, meanwhile, in Group C after a 3-0 victory over Marseille. Porto already through as well, beating Olympiacos by 2-0.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at electricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's LECTRICEBikes.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The Champions League draw will be made on Monday, and it is very much lopsided. You take a look at those number one seed teams, all brilliant. The runners-up, not so good, with the exception you have to look at Atletico Madrid. And I know I'm ignoring Barca, but they're terrible at the moment, so that's all right. So you look at that, and surely all the teams want to avoid Atleti. So who is Gab's dream draw? Oh. Who's he got facing Atletico Madrid? Borussia Dortmund he'd like to see. Manchester City, Barca for obvious reason. Pep. Liverpool, Leipzig will be fun. Bayern Munich, Sevilla. PSG, Atalanta. Juventus, Borussia Mönchengladbach. Real Madrid, Porto. Chelsea, Lazio. You feel he just threw in at the end because he had to. is that true, Gab?
Oh, yeah, the last three got out of control.
You know what? I'm so looking forward. I just can't wait to see, or I'd love to hear Eder Militao go back and face his old club. You know, that, to me, that's the big Real Madrid storyline. No, look, when you get to the end, you're limited, right? Because there's so many Spanish teams, so many German teams in there and whatever. But the ones at the top are tasty.
Yeah, they are tasty. Just remember that you can't face the team that you faced in the group, and you can't face the same side that you faced as the same country as you.
You okay there?
I was just thinking through, because I was already leaning towards Liverpool Atleti for Stevie.
No thanks, I'll take Leipzig. I must admit, I do like the look of City Barcelona. I mean, that could be brilliant, especially with Pep and Barcelona and all the other connections. Then, of course, maybe you've got Messi playing against the team he might be playing with next year. I think that would be a great game.
Well, I don't know if it'll be great, because let me tell you what's going to happen. Everybody's going to possess the ball. Barcelona will knock it around, and then Manchester City will knock it around, but neither of these teams are actually going to create opportunities, so we're just going to see possession to death.
Oh, well, are you excited about the draw, Frank?
No.
I am excited about that draw. If it's Liverpool against Leipzig, I want to see that game. And I don't want to see Manchester City against Barcelona. As Ali mentioned, it's going to be a possession fight. I want to see goals. And I'm not sure I'm going to see that. So, Liverpool, Leipzig, yes.
Wow, they cut you off there. They had enough of you, Frank. Gab and Jules has a slight difference to it for the next edition, because it's Gab and Stuart Robson.
Oh,
that drops
more
on Thursday.
Serious. More
Be
serious.
Sure to download it. That brings us to the end of today's show. Thank you very much to everyone who's been on. Be sure to stay tuned, though, for extra time as we study Stevie Champagne.
Uh-huh, and Prosecco as well.
And a lot more in depth. Yeah, stay tuned then. Extra time is next. Welcome into the latest edition of Extra Time. Thank you, as always, for your tweets. Ali Moreno is with us, as is Frank LaBeouf. Steve Nicol as well. Steve, I'm noticing something new behind you this week. A couple of bottles of champagne. They are definitely new.
Are they?
Yes.
I wouldn't know. I don't know. Maybe Eleanor's.
Well, what have they got on them? Are they like Man of the Match awards or something?
Hi.
Let's have a look.
Ah, there's one over there.
Yeah, we can't see that one.
That one.
Come on, take the nearest one.
This is really difficult.
Way,
really difficult.
By the way,
it doesn't come.
Hey, it's not even opened.
Well, yes, well, we can
it's
see.
Not even opened.
We can see that. What is it?
91.
What is it?
1981.
91.
Oh, 91.
What's That's it? Hard to believe.
You know what?
How
was Daniel?
What's it for?
How was it? Be best that year.
Daniel and the guys. Wednesday. You know that. If it's not from Rennes or from France, you can't call it champagne.
Well, maybe
it's not a champagne if it doesn't come from Rennes and champagne, in fact.
Oh, thank you very much for that lesson.
Yeah. Well, you have to know things, you know.
That's a useless piece of information.
It's why we call it Prosecco. In Italian, we call it Prosecco, because it's not come from champagne.
Okay.
All right.
Well, there we are. Thank you very much for that, Frank.
Hey.
You do realise
a little bit of
to,
culture
Frank.
In that show
Me,
would
Ali
be would be nice, you know.
That's when you think of our show, you think culture.
Very much so.
Frank, can PSG win the Champions League this season after last season's heartbreaking defeat in the final?
Well, so far, I don't really think that they are capable of doing even the same thing that they did last season. But you know, things can change, they can get better, and they have the individuals to do so. Now they really have to find a real tactic. The two players, the two stars, they have to be at the top like they did today. But it was against Basaksehir. It wasn't against, Liverpool or the team. I want to see more from that team. They're capable of, but I'm still questioning their their spirit and the power of in fact the squad.
What do you think, Stevie?
I don't think so. I don't think you can. You shouldn't be going and trying to win a Champions League relying on just two players. That's not a good place to start. Is it possible? Well, you never know. Maybe the two of them turn up on the right night, the right time, on the right day, and do what they're actually good at. But you can't rely on that to win a Champions League.
You know what, Daniel? What I think really it's. In fact, when you see the two last winners, Liverpool and Bayern Munich, you see two real teams, two real squads with no stars. Mm. When you see how much Barcelona struggle with Messi, when you see how much Paris Saint-Germain struggle with Neymar and Mbappe, it's like I'm thinking that maybe it's impossible to win a Champions League nowadays if you have a star and if you put the tactic around him and choose the squad around him or the team around him. I think it's better to have no celebrities, no fame, but a team.
Real Madrid did all right with that Ronaldo chat, didn't they?
Well, yeah, but it's maybe the exception to the rule. And it's how long since Ronaldo left?
I like that, Frank.
Well, they won three in a row with him, didn't they? So it can't be an anomaly.
Yeah. But no. Have you seen that I didn't mention Ronaldo? I mentioned Messi with the problem that Barcelona has.
Right.
I mentioned Paris Saint-Germain with Neymar and Mbappe. But I just say that when you see Liverpool, and you see Bayern Munich, the two last winner, it's a team. No stars. Everybody fights for the others. That's maybe the reason why they're winners.
I say we go back to talking about Prosecco and champagne.
Oh, yeah. Apparently, if it's not from Rennes, you can't call it champagne.
Well, you know that I actually...
Rennes.
Going back to that for a second. So I was player of the month a couple of times. They give me this big old... And you know I don't drink, but they gave me this big old bottle of champagne or wine or whatever it was. And then in one of the many moves that I had in Major League Soccer, one of the many moves, they did not make it to the next step. Somebody, one of the movers,
they took it.
Midway through, they had a good time with it.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah.
Hey.
They did not make the move.
What do you call the big ones? Are they magnums? Is that a magnum, Frank? When it's the big bottles.
It can be bigger. A magnum is two bottle in capacity, is two bottle of champagne.
Yep.
Then after you have Jeroboam as well, is bigger.
Ooh.
And after you have another one, I don't remember the name.
Look at that, it's
everywhere.
Every day is a school day with us on Extra Time. It's awesome. Yes, Stevie?
Dan, who was the joke? There was a... Oh, it was Carlton Palmer. A guy called Carlton Palmer played for England Sheffield Wednesday.
Yep.
And he was at a big fancy do in a big fancy hotel. And he called the waiter over and said to the waiter, give me the biggest bottle of champagne you've got. And the guy said, a magnum. And he went, well, if you don't have any more Chandon, magnum will do.
Hey! Oh, hey! Gareth Bale cannot get minutes in big matches for Spurs, and the UK media is not making a noise. Has everyone come to the realisation that he is simply not that player anymore, and their attacks on Zidane was baseless? Ali.
Well, I don't know what the attacks on Zidane were, but I think we have reported on this show many a times, and we've had this discussion many a times, that Gareth Bale, yes, is not the player that he once was. His priority, first and foremost, is to be healthy. And that in itself has proven to be a challenge. And now, Jose Mourinho, who was supposed to be the guy with all the answers for Gareth Bale, that this was the move that would propel Gareth Bale to be what he was in the past, not quite working out either.
Stevie?
I didn't actually hear the question, Tom.
Oh, that's all right. Don't worry. I'm going to move on. Did your agents ever cause headaches for you in your playing days, such as what Raiola is doing with Pogba? Frank?
No. I wasn't at the top like Pogba, maybe. So it was very easy for me. You know what? The last contract that I had with Chelsea, I dealt it myself. I went to Colin Hutchinson's office and I said, OK, I want that. He said, OK, I signed. Easy.
Perfect. Nice.
My agent was very pleased. We were very pleased. I was an easy guy. No problem, no headaches.
How did you pick your agent, Frank?
In fact, they started their career the same year that I started mine. And I thought it was like, I don't know, a sign, let's say, a destiny. And I talked to them. They were two, and we talked, and we mashed. And I said, okay, let's go for it. And I did all my career along with them.
Oh, are you still friends?
Well, with one, yes. The other one passed away last year from cancer, and I really think about him because he was too young to live.
Stevie, your agent?
Yeah. No, I mean, listen, back in my day, agents had just started. Probably the late second part of the 80s, shall we say, agents started coming into it. But at that time, agents were very much, you know, doing exactly what you told them. Because if an agent came out and said anything, you would get absolutely annihilated in the dressing room. All the usual, who are you, and think you're a big timer, and agents and all this. So, no, that would never have happened.
I don't think you need a lawyer when you are a top player, because clubs come and you can discuss. What you need is a lawyer to exactly know what you're going to put in your contract, because what the money that you want, you can deal yourself. When you're a young player, maybe it's when you need those agents to find you a club, a new club, when you want to change from the club you were, you know, maybe raised. So that's maybe why I don't understand Raiola coming into the show where Pogba could deal the prime Diaz with Man United by himself.
Is the bird on your t-shirt riding a bike? What's it doing on top of those circles?
Oh my God. You are insulting the first French emblem. It's in 1920 where you had the two circle. We represent the amateur and also the professional. And the rooster, who became in fact the single emblem afterwards. But it was, a rotation system, let's say, before we started to go with the rooster. But it's not bicycle. My God.
You didn't know about the rotation system?
Yeah. No, I didn't know about the rotation system.
We rotate. This is what we're doing.
On a bike.
A lot of games coming.
Ali, who made the bigger mistake?
Yeah.
Lopetegui choosing to manage Real Madrid and leaving Spain national team, or Ronald Koeman choosing Barca and leaving the Dutch national team?
I'm going to say Lopetegui, because this was right before the World Cup. And what that meant, not only for Lopetegui himself, but what that meant for the national team, and created the sort of controversy and the preparation or lack thereof for the Spanish national team heading into the World Cup. I thought that was a more significant mistake, both on a personal level for Lopetegui and certainly for the national team as well.
Final question. My son is two tomorrow. Uh-huh. He genuinely watches this show.
Yeah. Hey, well.
Thank you very much. You're the one.
Woo!
Tells you something.
Culture.
He has no idea what's going on. Hey. No, neither do we.
That's pretty much
But I think he likes all the shouting. He also watches Family Guy with me, as he just sees it as a kid's cartoon with a cool baby and a dog. Can I get a happy birthday, Paul, please? Uh-huh. He hates Gab.
Yes! Yes! He's a good guy. He's a good
guy. Happy birthday, Paul! We love you, Paul!
Happy birthday! Joyeux anniversaire, Paul! Happy birthday, Paul!
Hey, he's clearly a good judge. That boy's clearly a good judge of character.
Oh, brilliant. Happy birthday, Paul. On that note, we will leave you. Thank you very much for watching. Oh. Who knows what will be involved in tomorrow's Extra Time. Be sure to join us.
Paul!
What lessons will be
learned? I love you, Paul!
We know that Paul will be too.